Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So you're saying the Royals put something on social media just for me today?
Yeah, I think they did. It is a tweet from the Royals that says a man bun and a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. Every pitch from Josh DeMond's electric eighth inning last night in 22 seconds. It's pretty good.
I will watch that.
It is ridiculous. Really good. And as somebody quote tweeted it, at RyanChrist86, he says, this was so unfair. And it really was, man. If you saw Josh DeMond pitch last night, you're going, okay, we've got the beginnings of something really special, hopefully long-term, down in that bullpen. He's been really good all year, and last night he was just stellar. Fastball, fastball, boom, breaking pitch. Fastball, fastball, boom, breaking pitch. Kyle Schwarber looking like a little leaguer up there against a man. He was really dominating last night in the eighth inning. It's too bad they didn't get any hits and score any runs, but, I mean, the pitching last night I thought was really exceptional for the Royals.
So I'm excited. You got Duffy and Singer, right? You got Junis back.
Right.
You're going to have Keller back.
We'll talk more about it with Matheny at this time tomorrow. Right. Should be Keller at the end of the week.
Right. Your rotation would be pretty solidified.
Sure.
Back into the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Kennedy gave up a home run last night. He's got an ERA of 5. He's going to have a couple of home runs.
Mm-hmm.
So keep it in the ballpark. Easier said than done.
Sure.
But as long as Ian Kennedy's not giving up tons of home runs. Holland, for the most part, has been really, really good.
Yep.
That he was part of that 7-run 7 the other day.
Everybody's
right?
Gonna have a bad
have one.
Yeah.
But Kennedy, Holland, Rosenthal, Staumont.
Yeah, come on now, score a run.
Like, okay, I like. There's a lot of pieces in this bullpen right now. Tyler Zuber,
Zuber too. Yeah.
So I think there are a lot of pieces in this bullpen. I know they like Scott Barlow. As well, so there feels like there's a lot of pieces pitching now, and if you get your starting group solidified now with, you know, back off the COVID list and these rookies, you know, starting to lengthen out a little bit. Okay, I like what I'm seeing from the pitching standpoint. Now get some offense.
Yeah, and now get some offense, because you're getting what, you know, is the currency of baseball. And you don't win games in the postseason because you're out there, you know, winning games 14-13. You win games in the postseason because of pitching. I mean, that's a big reason why the Royals are 2015 world champions. That bullpen was nails. They were able to win games with pitching in those years. And that's what you do, man. When you're going good, your pitching usually is top notch. And the Royals have that going good. Now scratch out a few runs and let your pitching go out there and hold on to some leads. And hey, everything's going to be good, but you got to get that hitting going. I'm not asking for 15 runs a game or anything like that. But give me 3, give me 4, give me 5 runs a game. Give me somewhere between 3 and 5 runs per game, and I feel pretty good with the way that these guys are throwing the ball right now. You're going to win a good majority of those baseball games.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, joined us on the show yesterday, and I admittedly was not prepared for this. We're prepared for the topic because we were discussing, like, the trade deadline comes awfully quick.
Yeah, really fast. Sure.
I'm still in buy mode. But at the time we talked to him, 3-7.
Right.
3-8 now with the loss last night.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly the trade deadline takes on a, unfortunately, familiar refrain.
Yeah, I hate talking about it, but we need to be realistic. If we're going to acknowledge that Chicago, Cleveland, and Minnesota have by far more talent than the Royals in the division, if we can also acknowledge that the Royals are in the first six of the season. They're having a difficult time playing fundamentally sound baseball, which, you know, just screams of a team that's not going to the playoffs. Well, we need to start thinking about when this team will go to the playoffs and accumulating pieces to help make that trip to the postseason come even quicker. You can do that by moving Ian Kennedy. You can move that do that by moving a Trevor Rosenthal. I personally, outside of these kids that we've seen over the first 10 games, man, anyone, everyone in this pitching staff, including Danny Duffy, I think they're all available. I would listen to offers on anyone because, as we've seen over the first 2 weeks of this season, starting pitching is being ravaged around Major League Baseball with opt-outs, with positive tests, and with injuries as pitchers try and ramp up quickly without the benefit of a true month and a half of spring training. So I would not be surprised if Dayton Moore's phone starts ringing about Rosenthal and Kennedy to begin with. Would it be surprised if that phone starts ringing in the next 10 days?
Darn you, Vern, with your dose of reality. I was fine living in the non-reality of, oh, maybe the Royals can have some acquisitions, maybe offensively to help this team get out of this spot. I don't want the phone ringing the other direction yet.
You don't want it to be going out right now. You still want the incoming calls or the outgoing calls.
The outgoing calls.
If you're available, you don't want the incoming calls saying,
correct,
who do you have available right now for this team? And look, I understand where that is, but again, I mean, you're sitting at 3-8 right now, right? It's not exactly like you're 8-3. And so, you know, things have changed over the last, you know, week or so for this ball club. I mean, you know, you're in a spot right now where it may be tough to kind of get back into the thick of things, and you got to do what's best for moving the organization forward. But as we talked about yesterday, I went back and thought about this a lot yesterday, like what is still that key position that you're looking for? I would assume at this point in time, you're probably, you know, just really looking for maybe relievers, guys that can be a body for you that you have under team control, because moving forward, you're really set at a lot of positions with this ball club, and a trade deadline move for an Ian Kennedy is not going to net you in a shortened season, is not going to net you somebody that's going to be a focal point of your team moving forward for the next 5 years. This isn't going to be some kind of Zach Greinke trade or, you know, a trade for James Shields or a trade for Johnny Cueto or something like that. You're not going to make a trade at the deadline this year that should, you know, spruce up your organization. In fact, every year, if you're giving away or if you're giving away talent at the big league level like Johnny Cueto, you're not normally going to get back folks that are going to build your roster and build your rotation for the future. You hope to get a kind of a platoon player, a role player out of that. And that's what you have to be looking for at this trade deadline as well.
Not happy.
Realistically speaking.
Not happy if you, Vern. A kid. Vern, yeah. Tonight, 6 with pregame coverage, Royals and Cubs game 2, 7:15 here on 610 Sports Radio. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid addressing the media training camp. We'll hear from him next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We are awaiting Andy Reid, speaking from Chiefs training camp today, right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. Andy Reid coming up live in just a couple of minutes as he addresses reporters at the, it just feels weird too, the start of training camp, right?
And we're not there, right? It's not in St. Joe, it's at Arrowhead, and we've talked about the video and everything that they've done to convert Arrowhead into an amazing training camp facility for the Kansas City Chiefs, so I'm excited about that. I think it's going to be fine. I think they're going to just get the exact same amount of work done. It's going to be different. You're not going to be in a dorm. You're going to have the ability to go home at night. But I think they're going to get the work done, and I think this team is committed, and I think this team is just dedicated on running this thing back and winning back-to-back championships, because, you know, you're not going to have an opportunity to raise the banner in front of 78,000 fans this year. So you got to do it again next year. And so I think this team is going to be as committed as we've ever seen a team, and I'm excited for the start, you know, of training camp. And Andy is expected to join us tomorrow here on 610 Sports Radio.
Let's head out to Arrowhead right now. Here's a live press conference with Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
To be back. We've had now a chance for the rookies to go through the first phase of this training camp, and that's lifting and conditioning with a walkthrough, and then they were able to start today with their padded shirts and helmet practice, and that went well. Again, numbers are minimal for how many rookies we have. So But we were able to get some work done with him, which is great. I mean, for not having the time that we had before, to have it now is perfect. So, and then the veterans are continuing to lift. They've got about 4 more days of that program and conditioning. So, and then they'll be back up and going through this same process with that the rookies are with the padded shirts, and we'll kind of mesh them together at that point, and everybody will work together. So the rookies went this morning separate from the veterans. So they had a little bit earlier practice than what the veterans did. Anyways, all's gone well. Damian Williams, I think we're all aware of that. We haven't met since then, but most of all, we wish his mother the best, and she has suffered right now, and for Damon to take the time to be with her, I think that kind of explains it right there. So we're all with him as he works through that, and I think that kind of catches us up transaction wise where we're at. So, anyways, with that, time's yours.
Let's go to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Adam. Thank you.
Good. Andy, do you have any plans to quarantine Pat or Chad Haney or Matt Moore, any of your quarterbacks? And if so, what's that going to look like?
Yeah, so we're not in a position where you can quarantine guys. So that's not the way the camps are set up. And what's in the collective bargaining agreement. So, which I understand now, that's where it becomes important that everybody takes care of themselves the best they can when they're away and also in the building. But, most of all, when they're away, they've been doing a great job, Adam, of wearing masks, doing the right things in meetings. And with that, on the practice field when needed. Again, that's not mandatory there, but certain guys wear them, certain guys don't. But I'm going to tell you, the guys have been so diligent about it, and they remind each other about it. Our players committee has been phenomenal with it. So reminding guys in their positions.
Let's go to Herbie. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, good morning, Coach. How are you doing?
Hi, Herbie. Good morning.
Hey, two questions here for you, Coach. With the opt-out deadline being pushed back to the end of the week, Thursday or Friday, according to numerous reports, how much do you anticipate other players electing to go that route as far as discussions you've had with them? And then the second question, Osamele, what is he giving you at the guard position or even along the offensive line, and how do you project using him?
Yeah, so as far as opting out, that's at the player's discretion. I mean, I don't know, and that's not because I don't communicate with the players. It's just that that's a personal thing for them. So I don't interfere with that. As far as Osamele goes, I sure like him. And we had him in the Pro Bowl 1 year, and I liked him there as a guy. And I'm glad he's with us. So it builds a depth for us and competition. And Herbie, as you know, that generates a good offensive line player or any position play when you have that kind of competition. So Andy Heck works all those guys in. So he keeps a rotation going, and they're all kind of interchangeable there. The way Andy does it.
Let's go to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Andy. Good to see you this morning.
Hey, Nate. Yeah, likewise.
Because you guys won't have preseason games this year, I'm just wondering how much you had to sort of adjust your training camp schedule as you ramp up to the scheduled home opener. How much will that affect line play position, both on offensive, defensive end? And then secondly, because you get, more men at the offensive line position, just how do you think Andy Heck is going to rotate those guys in when you know you're not going to have an opponent to sort of look at from film-wise to suggest who should be the starter for opening day?
Yeah, so we'll get a feel on that. And in particular, when we've brought in a couple veteran players, and then obviously we got a couple of young players that we like to. But we'll be able to tell. The thing, you got to flash back to your college days, and that's kind of how this is going to be at the start, I think, when you look at it. So you're not going to have – an opportunity for preseason games, but that's okay. That's everybody. I think the league's done a nice job along with the union on building up ramp up days for the guys. Not only once we put the padded shirts and shells on, we go 2-2 on those. But also when we start in pads, they're actual ramp up days. So it's a shorter period of time on the field. And then it gradually gets up to what the CBA rules are, which is 2.5 hours on the field. So, I think that's a positive. We've got plenty of practices. You know, that's one thing we do have in order to evaluate and for our guys to get into where they're comfortable playing shape. So I think it'll all work out well. I still think it's going to be a good product on the field for the fans. It'll be good to get to that point. So, down the road here.
Go to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Good morning, Coach. Thanks for taking some time with us. I was curious. I know the team is with Damian off the field. It does leave a big vacancy on the field just because this was someone you guys named the starter last year. And I just was curious, are you going in the direction of Clyde? Is it something you're still figuring out? And then when it comes to Clyde, if he is the guy, what makes you think he'll be ready for this type of task as a rookie?
Yeah, well, we're gonna get Clyde ready to play, and he's gonna get ready to play. But we're lucky that we have a pretty good nucleus of running backs there, so we're not in. Listen, it'd be great to have Damian, but on the other hand, I think if you have to pick a position where you've got some talent, that's a position that we can work with, and we're in a pretty good position. I think Brett and his guys did a great job with that. Kind of stockpile in that position, but for your answer with Clyde, we're going to get him ready to play, and he's wired that way. The more you guys get to know him, and ladies, the more you get to know him, I think you understand his maturity and kind of how he's wired.
Yeah. Let's go to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
Coach, thank you for the time today. Curious, what's your reaction when you see what's going on with Major League Baseball? How they're really struggling. And are there ongoing conversations that you're having? I know how much you were a part of trying to get everything set up to be as safe as possible, but do you look at it? Are you talking about flying in, flying out day of games to minimize where you're going? And is there a baseball seems to be now looking at shifting to a bubble for their postseason? What kind of bubble talk, if you could tell me as well, and why, you know, you did or didn't go and whether or not that would be a possibility for the league?
Yeah, so I think baseball did a good job of they figured that this something like this possibly could happen. So the way they set that up, I think they did a good job with it. Likewise, I think our league has. I mean, we're in a position where you don't want guys to get that, you don't want coaches to get this, but there's a chance that happens, and then you've got to adjust and you've got to move. As far as the bubble at the end for the playoffs, I can't answer that. I think, we just see how things are going and the league will. I mean, I'm not going to do this, but the league will monitor that as we go. But, I think baseball kind of built into theirs anticipating something like this possibly could happen and then be flexible with it.
Let's go to Sam Mellinger. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Andy, thanks for the time. What I was wondering about is kind of along the same lines of what Seren just asked you, but does that give you any hesitation, what you've seen in baseball, what you guys are trying to do, and what gives you confidence that what you guys are going to do is going to be more successful than what baseball is seeing right now?
Yeah, well, like I said, we've got things programmed in. A plan in case it does happen. I mean, that's the league has built that in. We tried to do the same thing with the roster. But this is, Rick said it initially, this is there's an unknown, right? We don't, you can't see this thing. And you don't know who it's going to affect, but we've all got to stay flexible with it. And as long as we do that, and I think if, as long as the coaches and the players do the best they can, to wash their hands and keep the mask on and social distance, and then do that same thing in building and out of building, I think, you can make this thing happen. So, And then we'll just see. We'll see how it goes. Just tell me you're not at like Yellowstone Park right now. Just tell me that. You look like you're on a nice ride right there.
Yeah, I wish. No, we are on our way back home. We're taking full advantage of the work from home policies
all right.
here.
All right.
I'm not driving.
I see that.
All right, guys, let's go to Vahe. Vahe, go ahead.
Hey, Andy, good to see you. Likewise, Vahe. This might seem like ancient history to you now, but I wonder if after the Super Bowl, it can point to one particular sort of quiet moment of we did it that was when you just stopped and appreciated it. And related to that, I just wonder what the difference feels like between the burn you guys had after last season losing to the Patriots and what you come in with this feeling.
Yeah, well, I think in both cases, we have a team, and Brett, I mean, my hat goes off to Brett for the job that he did, but we have teammates that like each other, like being around each other. The coaches like being around the guys. So we've had that atmosphere here for a couple of years now. Not that we didn't before, but I mean, you're asking me about the 2 years, but so I haven't noticed a lot of difference there. I think Vahe kind of having been through this, you know, once you get there, you want to get back. And so that's well and good. But you got to go through the process. And I think they all know that. And they're working hard right now. And so what you do is you go off of those indicators that and response. Are the coaches working hard? Are the players working hard? That's most important right now. And I see that. So that's got to continue now throughout. And heck, there are going to be some up and downs, right? I mean, that's how seasons are. It happens in games. It happens during a season. And you got to work through that and stay positive and work to get better every day and every week. So that's kind of where our emphasis is right now. And I haven't seen anything that has retracted me or my feelings on that they're not willing to work.
Let's go to Mick Schaefer. Go ahead, Mick. There you go, Mick.
You're listening to Andy Reid's press conference from Arrowhead Stadium, live here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Go ahead, Karen. All right.
Hi, Coach.
How you doing, Karen?
Great to see you, sir. Two questions. One, have you been able to talk to Coach Peterson after his COVID diagnosis? And the other thing is just when you do start preparing for contact, you know, besides breathing on each other on the line, there's sweat, there's blood, there's what kinds of things are a step up in protection that we can expect to see once the season gets going and there's contact there?
Yeah, so I think what the league has said, it's a contact sport. And I would just, again, reference back to them. It's a contact sport. We're going to try to limit, I think you try to limit the amount that you have there, although it's, you got to practice it. So, and then take as safe a measures as you can with it. So Oakley's come out with some different things that the players will experiment with, and whether they like it or not, they can experiment with it and put it in that position. But, you know, we're going to do the best we can with the situation. So.
All right, guys, we've got time for a few more here. We're going to go Harold, Matt Derrick, and then Matt McMullen. Go ahead, Harold.
Andy, hope you're doing well. I wanted to ask you, Harold. I saw the visuals of you guys wearing the face shields while you're out at practice. Just I wanted to know how that's going for you. Eric Bieniemy was too. We just see the images. It seems a little goofy at first to see, but how's that working out for you? And also, if there's anything that DeAndre Washington told you about Patrick Mahomes that you didn't know in your time that you spent with him.
Yeah, so I'll start with the first one. You know, if you're a beekeeper, you'd feel real comfortable. So with the mask on, it's one of those things. It is a different you have players and coaches, really, once you're on the field. There's no necessarily regulation on them. You'll see all the coaches with some kind of either a mask on or a shield, sometimes both. And so that's the way we're rolling. And as a staff, And then your other one was, I'm not sure. Finish the second part of that. Go ahead. The DeAndre. You kind
yeah,
of,
anything DeAndre has told you about Patrick that you may not have known since they both spent time at Tech together.
No, they're no, neither. I haven't talked to either one about it. So, yeah, either.
Let's go to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Coach. Good morning. Go circling back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a week or so ago, he told us that picking up the playbook had been really easy for him. How much of that points to his high football IQ, and how much of that is, you know, rookies not really getting a chance to get on the field in the offseason and really, you know, see what the NFL is?
Yeah, so I think the virtual party took it serious and studied. And then he's a sharp kid. I mean, he's been blessed upstairs there. So he picks things up fairly easy. Now, we'll overload him here once the veterans get in. I mean, that's just how it goes. And we'll see how he does. I wouldn't expect anything different than what I've seen now. He's a proud kid that wants to make it right and is willing to work to do it. So he on and off the field, which is important.
Let's go to Matt McMullen for our final one.
Hey, Coach. It's obviously been a very unique offseason, obviously, with working with these guys virtually. But as a coach, you finally get to work with these guys in the building one-on-one. Just how excited are you as a coach to be able to finally do that?
Yeah, so it's great to have them back. I mean, I like the energy that they have. Like I said, they like being around each other, which is important. And they're willing to work. So they've been with Barry most of the time with the lifting and conditioning phase. But the times that we've had them in meetings and then for the walkthrough, they've been great. And then to have the rookies today actually be able to put a helmet on was kind of fun to watch. They moved around pretty good, even though the numbers, we don't have a lot of bodies out there, but they sure worked well.
Coach, we appreciate the time today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
There we go. That's head coach Andy Reid and his news conference from Arrowhead Stadium at the start of training camp.
You heard see Andy in the beekeeper suit.
Yeah, the rookies are underway with some padded work, and still he said about four more days until the veterans are kind of cleared to be able to do to padded work. But then he went on to say, with no preseason, we have plenty of practices.
Yeah,
so
fine.
He feels like, you know, like. You knew Andy would just be like, we got this. It'll be fine. It'll just be a little bit different. But there are plenty of practices in which to evaluate and get everybody ready to go for the upcoming season.
I like the fact that he also talked about the product on the field still being good for the fans. Because I think there is a little concern about that. How good is it going to be this year? Are we going to see a really good product out there on the field this year because of no OTAs and training camps or mini camps, I should say, and you know, just kind of the late start to training camp and the ramp up? He goes, no, guys are going to get their bodies in shape. They're going to be where they are. Then I think the product's going to be pretty
good. You're going to have some coaches complain about no preseason. Andy Reid will not be
Andy
one of
Reid
them.
Will not be one of those coaches. Okay. Yes. He will not complain about anything, even having to wear a beekeeper suit on the sideline or whatever it is that he's wearing.
We'll have somebody even probably after game one say, preseason. Really sloppy out
Josh,
there.
Josh, we will hear that into October or November. I promise you we will hear that all year from at least a coach every week. Yeah. Well, the preseason set us behind and we're not where we need to be. And
confident saying it will not be Andy.
Yeah, it will not be Andy Reid. 100% no.
Andy Reid will join us on the show tomorrow. We had a chance to talk, as we do on Tuesdays, with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. We'll hear back from him next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, joins us each and every Tuesday at 7:30 here on 610 Sports Radio. We had a chance to chat with him about a number of topics, including the loss of Damian Williams, who has decided to opt out this upcoming season, and that, of course, will force an adjustment.
Well, they're losing. I mean, you can't. Okay, two things here. One, Andy Reid has taught me the whole next man up. You got to move on, push on. If I've learned nothing from that dude in 8 years, to see what he has done, to not blink, not flinch, and getting through flashpoints. That being said, Damian Williams now, you're talking, I mean, there's a blend of speed and power. I mean, he's right there to 4.39, 4.4. We saw that throughout the playoffs the last 2 years. He's really good in the passing game. There's enough power that he could get short yardage. So he's got this blend to him that with the current roster of running backs, someone's going to have to prove that. Then we can get to Clyde Edwards-Helaire here in a second. But Damian's got – there's something to him. And that 38-yard run to immortality wasn't a mistake. He's a tackle breaker, excellent pass receiver, and a pretty good pass protector. Go back and watch the pass play to Sammy Watkins on the pass play to the outside to the boundary, and he makes it the key block because he's got to go over and help on Nick Bosa. So there's a lot going out the door there, at least this year as he opts out, and prayers to him and what he's going through with his family. But this group that remains has got to piece it together because there is a void with Damian opting out this year.
Yeah, no doubt. And it seems to me that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is getting more conversation, more talked about in the national media than, man, maybe any other rookie I've seen. I've never seen everybody so on board with Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
A healthy dose of skepticism, a lot with the quarterbacks,
sure.
Right? First round picks. And you're right, Bob. I feel like, Mitch, that with this guy, it's just like, oh, he's pretty automatic. I've never seen a first rounder that there's seemingly not a lot of questions about from everybody else. Like, they'll just plug it in. He's with Andy Reid. It'll be fine.
Well, and let's just pump the brakes a little bit on him. I think that's what Andy would say, too. But I'm going to reverse the plus-minus here with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And let's start with the plus. I've mentioned before, he looks like Sproles to me. Is there enough power on short yardage to get a third and two? It's a spread set. He's the single back. But we're going to run him on a delay. Or a draw, and can he break a tackle in the between the tackles? I know he can break tackles out in space, and he's proven that at LSU. But he's still a rookie. That's where we got to pump the brakes on him. And the thing about here's the real question, guys, of most of your listeners: do I take him as the RB1 on my fantasy team? Let's
just break
it. Let's get it down to reality here, right? And with Andy Reid, I'm not sure there's ever been an RB1. Maybe Kareem Hunt during that rookie season that he had. But Andy likes to spread it around. He likes to have different things he can do in different situations and be less predictable. So the rest of his crew, there's six running backs on the roster right now. And if you look at DeAndre Washington and Darwin Thompson, they're kind of similar in their skill set. So that means Darrell Williams, to me, becomes important in his rehab and what he's got, because he becomes a little bit of a poor man's Damian Williams, and that doesn't have the speed, but he's got the power to get short yardage. So there's some intrigue there, but honestly, the running back position to me with Andy Reid's always been like an algebraic equation. There's just several variables there that he likes to use, and he likes to have that multiplicity.
Talking with Mitch Holthus here on 610 Sports Radio, as we do every Tuesday at 7:30 leading up to the regular season. And we were talking last segment, Mitch, about the potential of a bubble in the NFL, which I don't think is very feasible and logical. But I think right now, from everybody that I've talked to, man, like, everybody's pretty pleased with the way things are going in the NFL. What has your experience been like out there so far?
Yeah, for the most part. But here we go. Again, Burkholder was in front of the media. Rick Burkholder, the vice president for athletic performance and athletic training and poobah of all that. But he really, really is brilliant. You know, he was one of the – he's maybe after Tammy Reid, maybe the second call that Andy said, hey, I'm going to Kansas City, you're going with me, and we're going to win. And Rick was still under contract with Philadelphia at the time, and that all got worked out. But it tells you how much Andy thinks of Rick Burkholder. Rick Burkholder – again, like many of the folks in the Chiefs organization, if they're not the best at what they do in the league, they're near the top. And honestly, the Chiefs, Bob, have taken the lead here, and a lot of the NFL teams are looking to the Chiefs. So the league has said, or the NFLPA has said, hey, look at what the Chiefs are doing because it's working. So for the most part, the NFL seems to have it working. But again, we're in the embryonic stages of this. But I'm really kind of proud of the Chiefs for what they've done. Now, I would direct people to so I had a chance to drill down even further with Rick. This is, even if heads of families, heads of companies, there's a Defending the Kingdom podcast. You can just, Spotify, the way you can get to the YouTube, or get to YouTube or get to the podcast, it's called Defending the Kingdom, the First Foe. And Rick really drills down into some postulates more that affect intercom, affect your families when you go home. We want to open schools. How are we going to do that? Rick wants to have a season, and he goes into some things and some axioms that are really good to listen to. It's just Defending the Kingdom, the First Foe. Sean Barber and I do it. But it's basically a drill down with Rick Burkholder, and it will give you an idea of why the Chiefs, to this point, have been pretty successful with this COVID protection.
I want to play this cut for you and for the folks listening about this period that we're going through right now. We played it a little earlier in the show, but I think it's one that I want to get you to react about this acclimation period that's going on and what Patrick Mahomes says about the first week or so of camp.
With no preseason games, obviously I don't know exactly how that's going to be because I've never done it before. But, I mean, going back to college, I think you know that there has been times where you have to get to those first games and it's serious. You've got to make sure you go out there and try to win football games. So I'll try to lean on that, as well as I feel like when you have this acclimation period, it will help guys build up and make sure their bodies are prepared. I feel like that was what was most important. Other than, I mean, the preseason games are something that help a lot of guys out, but I think the health of the players and having this acclimation period to get everybody ready to go so that when we do hit the field, they're ready to go.
So this acclimation period, I think, is important. Andy Reid has won 11 straight games in the month of September. He's got extra time now to prepare for the rest of the NFL. How vital is this week and this upcoming week, so to speak, for the Kansas City Chiefs and really for the rest of the NFL to start getting scared again?
Bob, let's pause here a second. Think about what you just said. 11 consecutive September victories.
Mm-hmm.
11. And I went back and 7 of those 11 were on the road.
Oh, wow.
It's really one of the underrated stat in looking at the Chiefs and Andy Reid over the last several years. But I've learned a lot of things from Andy Reid in 8 years, going back to five paragraphs ago. And that is every day counts big time. Basically, what Andy Reid is doing, what I've picked up here, is he's scrunching in the OTAs, OSPs, and mini camps into this period. Now, it's limited in what they can do, understanding it is basically lifting and running and conditioning. But knowing Andy, he knows who maximizes these next 10 days from a football standpoint and put everything on speed dial and, you know, instant oatmeal here. Who maximizes these 10 days will be the leaders in winning and success early in this season. I can't imagine what Matt Rhule is doing with Carolina. As a brand new NFL coach, thinking, how am I doing this? What are we supposed to do? What do I do on this Tuesday? What do I do on this Wednesday? Andy Reid had that all figured out as soon as he got the rules. And so this 10-day period, seemingly, well, there's not much going on. They're running around in shorts. No, sir. This is a very important period for Andy Reid. He's trying to get 3 months' work done in just a several days. And if the Chiefs hit the ground running again like they have done and to extend the September winning streak, it'll be largely in part with what gets done in this acclimation period. Pat's right. And Pat knows. He's been around coach enough. He knows that this time now is essential.
Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. You heard Andy Reid talk about it, too, in his live news conference here as well about hey, there's no preseason. These are really important. We did all these Zoom meetings. Now you're going to be able to get a chance to get them in the classroom setting, mm-hmm. get them eventually on the field, got the rookies on the field already with some type of padding on to be able to do some things. So, yeah, this is ramp-up time here.
No, it is, and it's go time right now. I mean, it's really different. It's almost like, you know, when you played high school football or high school sports, you really didn't have the, you know, back in our day, you played other sports, and so you didn't have the spring footballs and all this kind of stuff. You showed up to the first day of fall camp, and you had 2 days, and it started with classroom stuff, and then you went out on the field, and you put it in, then you went back into the classroom, you went back on the field in the afternoon and put it in, and, you know, that's really where you started practicing football, was like 2 weeks before your first game. You got yourself in shape. You got your body ready to go, and you kind of hit the ground running, and that's what they're going to have to do in the NFL now. And I think from an NFL player perspective, you probably didn't mind not having the on-field stuff, Josh, because it's less wear and tear on your body. And I think a lot of guys are going to be feeling fresher, feeling healthier, feeling better going into the start.
No argument.
I mean, like the players are like, okay, fine, no OTAs, no mini camps, none of that. Okay, we're good to go. And look, I know. Like, it's a double-edged sword. People in the league, as the players, will say, we want less padded practices, we want less hitting, and then they get into the game and everybody goes, well, because you don't have enough padded practices and enough hitting. That's why, you know, we see the tackling
excuse,
the way, right?
Too.
There's always that, but I just think from a player standpoint, you got to probably be feeling pretty good entering this training camp. There's not a lot of, you know, nicks and cuts and things like that you're trying to heal as you get ready for training camp. Like, everybody should be fresh and everybody should be ready to go. Will you see more injuries? Time will tell. I don't know what the answer to that question is, but I would imagine guys going into this season right now feel really good about where they are.
Because normally when you're in a camp, I always feel like that first game comes quick.
It does, yeah. It feels like that first preseason game is fast.
You're there playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
Bang. So yeah, I think the veterans probably think this is great.
Right. Yeah, this is fantastic.
This is why, you know, the union didn't want to play any.
Right.
Right. I mean, we heard a 4 down to 2. The team still wanted to play a couple, and mm-hmm. the players union like,
no.
How about 0?
Can we negotiate? Nope.
This is the reason why. I think the vets are going to love this.
Yeah, I think they are.
You're still going to get your work on the field. You'll get them nice and antsy for the opening game and all those things. But as Andy Reid mentioned, we got enough practices to be able to do this.
Right.
And so with Andy, you trust as well.
Right. And you know, really the only thing that you could be worried about from an offensive standpoint, if you're like one of those worried fans all the time, is, all right, how's the offensive line going to gel? But again, that's Andy's forte. He's really good. Andy Heck is an amazing offensive line coach. I can't say I'm worried about that at all. And then the running back position, I hate the loss of Damian Williams. I do. I think it hurts this team. But again, there's another position that Andy's really good at. It's figuring out what to do with that running back spot, as we've seen here in Kansas City. I mean, they really have never had a quote unquote superstar at that running back position. I mean, Jamal went down basically the day Andy got here. You backfilled with a bunch of guys that nobody ever heard of before. Yeah, you had a third round draft pick, had a breakout year, but he didn't make it, you know, through because of his behavior. And so you had to move on from him, and you did a very nice job with Damian Williams backfilling for Kareem Hunt at the end of, you know, 2 seasons ago. And here you are now with your almost Super Bowl MVP was an undrafted free agent. I think they're going to be fine from that running back standpoint. Maybe you're not able to open the playbook and do everything you want in September that you would have been able to do if Damian Williams is there. But I think in the long run, this team, this coach has proven that, you know what, he gets the benefit of the doubt. And by the end of the season, when you need everything to be up and running and doing its thing, they're going to be just fine.
I feel like the preseason, I mean, the people that lose the preseason are the ones trying to fight for a roster spot. I mean, you're gonna have to get noticed in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Doing limited, maybe a little more limited things than you would before.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that are not benefiting from the preseason, kind of the tail end of your roster guys.
Right. Yeah. And you know what though, if you're 79th or 80th on the roster, were you really gonna make it anyway?
Well, I mean, I've better job, better than no job. I mean,
but I mean, if it's a 53 man roster, what, a 14 member practice squad this year, or something
16,
like that,
isn't it? Something like that. I mean, yeah. they have increased those numbers, so you might have an opportunity to do so. Limited number, a few less people in camp though probably helps that out. But you're gonna have to. But I mean, it creates a sense of urgency too. If you're one of those guys, hey, go bust it, and show them what you're made of, and you know, give yourself a chance to make a roster,
right? So, and see what happens.
There's,
yeah,
there's some benefits there too. I like the running back, as you mentioned, the running back. I feel like it's going to be okay. I think there's going to be time to do it, but I also like the, hey, this has created opportunities for running backs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire probably expected to come in here and try to compete for something. Now he's got a big piece of the pie if he wants to go get it.
Mm-hmm.
You have the others on the depth chart that might have thought, well, they drafted a first round guy, and Damian Williams is here. Now you've opened it up. You've got a piece of the pie to go try to get. So I like that too. Hopefully it brings out the best in the guys that are remaining on that roster at that position.
No doubt. And I think, look, no preseason may affect you inside, but you'll never hear it from Andy Reid. Nope. That no preseason, nope, is going to have an impact on this team. Yep. At all.
We should probably lay odds on who the first coach is that says it. But
oh, it's going to be Harbaugh in Baltimore or McVay in L.A.
Okay.
All right. Got Harbaugh or McVay.
Harbaugh or McVay, huh?
Because Anthony Lynn's not going to crack. Yeah. He's not going to say it.
Yeah.
Gruden doesn't really even know.
I'm going to go Ron Rivera. All right.
He's got to figure out a name for the team. He didn't have time for preseason anyway. He's probably glad they took those games off his plate.
We'll keep track of that. Andy Reid will join us on the show tomorrow, as will Royals manager Mike Matheny, 9 o'clock tomorrow here on 610 Sports Radio. Cody Gold, come your way next here on 610 Sports Radio.
Talk to you later.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.